Let me ask a question. They say confession's good for the soul, right? So here's the question. How many football fans do we have in the crowd? Let's see your hand. Oh, yeah. I'm starting to see T-shirts. I'm starting to see ties. That Kansas City Chiefs tie was here today. Big old bowl tie. Let me ask you a question. Whether you're a fan or not, you probably can understand the question and probably answer the question. The question is, what does it take to have a winning football team? What does it take? Yeah, good defense and offense. You know, it doesn't hurt to have a quarterback named Manning. Can I have a word? Yeah. My, what a start to his year. 7 touchdown passes. You know when they did that the last time, Debbie? They did that the last time on your birthday in the year I married you, 1969. That's when the last time that ever happened. And you do need the quarterback. You do need the offense. You do need the defense. We all understand that. It takes a team. It takes the discipline. That's what it takes to have a winning team. Now, the second question. What does it take to have a winning church? Now, there are those that would say, location, location, location. Find the right spot, build the right buildings, make them beautiful, and if we build it, they will come, of course. But you know the truth of that is, God can bless a church with fantastic facilities, and yet that church not win. Not win. And somebody else would say, well, it's not just the location, it's not just the facilities. Listen, it's the program. You got to have a program for bed babies. You got to have a program for preschool. You got to have a program for pre-K and then K and then 1. You know, you got to have a program. And it better be better than the ones down the street. Because folks are looking for the program, you know. If we can get the right program. Now, I want to tell you something. If programs would win the world, Southern Baptist would have already gotten the job done. We've programmed ourselves good, haven't we? I mean, we ought to do this. We really do. And they're good programs. Don't misunderstand. They're not bad. This is very important. They're good programs. But you listen, a church can have the perfect programs and not win. Not win. And let me just give you one other. Remember the question? What does it take for a church to win? And there's a lot of people that would say, it takes a personality. It takes somebody a little bigger than life to step behind the sacred desk and preach the word. And I will tell you, I magnify the role and the task of a preacher of the gospel. But there's only one star on this team, and it's Jesus Christ. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Let me tell you about a church. You've heard of it. It was a church located in a magnificent location. All roads seemed to lead to that grand city. It was a church placed strategically where there were over 700,000 people, and it was the first church. You talk about opportunity. You talk about opportunity. It was a church planted by the premier church planter in the world, the Apostle Paul. He not only planted it, he stayed with them for 18 months. 18 months that he stayed there. And when he left, another man stepped in to lead, and his name was Apollos. And if you've studied your word, he was some kind of charismatic preacher. I mean, he could preach. A church that was incredibly gifted. Incredibly gifted. And yet, guess what? Paul heard from that church and realized they weren't winning. They were losing. They were losing. The church was the church at Corinth. And if you'll take your Bible, I'm going to show you how the Apostle Paul dealt with that losing strategy that was in place, if you can call it that, at Corinth. This is the first of four sermons on the theme, love is closer than you think. Now, I will tell you right now that if you will stay with me for 4 weeks, that will have greater impact and you'll have greater understanding than you will today. I'm not going to tell you all that I'm going to tell you during this time. But I will say this, all these sermons will come from 1 Corinthians 13. You probably know it. You probably have heard it. It's called the love chapter. It is often read at weddings. But it was not written for weddings. It was written for the church. Specifically, it was written for the church in Corinth. Because in that church, even though it was a happening place, even though it was a charismatic place, and the gifts were there, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, helps and administration. It was some kind of place, but I want you to know something. It was also a hurting place. Quarrels were hurting people. Divisions were hurting people. Immorality was rampant in the church. So much so that there was incest. A man sleeping with his stepmother. Even the pagans didn't do that. It was a church that was hurting even at the Lord's Supper table. Churches that were hurt, church that was hurting because of disorder in the church and pride. With everything they had, they weren't winning, they were losing. And we're going to look at the answer as to why that was true. But we're going to see how Paul addresses it. How he addresses it. I want you to look with me at 1 Corinthians 13 and we'll read the chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is?
Love.
The greatest of these is?
Love.
The greatest of these is love. With all that the church at Corinth had, they were losing, not winning. And I will tell you now, the key to winning is loving. When it comes to the church, the key to winning is not being right. We'll talk about that. The key to winning is not being gifted. The key to winning is not sacrificial service. No, the key to winning is love. Love. But Paul did not state this positively. I have a tendency to want to do that when I look at the scripture, but he didn't. So I'm going to give you four words, and if you're a note taker, these are your four. But quite frankly, you won't need to take the notes because it's so straightforward and simple. Remember my question? The question is, what does it take to have a winning church? I'm going to answer it in the negative, but I guarantee it's the truth. Are you ready? Here's the four words. Without love, we lose. That's it. Without love, we lose. The focus of our attention today are on the first three verses of the 13th chapter. And Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. He's talking about inspired speech, inspiring speech. The ability to weave a spell with words. He's talking about the tongues of angels. I personally think he's talking about the ecstatic gift of speaking in tongues. And others understand it differently. But I think he's talking about that heavenly language that some people were able to experience. But he said, even with all of that, even if you can speak with the tongues of men and of angels, he says, if you have not love, then that is sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I don't know exactly what sounding brass means, and I'm going to show my age and a little of my ignorance here, because when I think of sounding brass, I think of the Gong Show. How many of you remember that show? Oh, my friend, wasn't that a classic? Wasn't that a classic? Man, take that gong and hit that. I've never been brave enough to put one of them on the platform, you know, because you can send a guy down the road with a Gong Show. For those of you that have never watched it, it was a television program that is very forgettable. Forgettable. But they had a gong, and they'd hit that gong. And then he says the clanging cymbal. We may have some percussionists with us today. People who play the cymbals, who play the percussion instruments. And I want to tell you, they can be very, very good. And I thank God for them. But did you ever hear a cymbal solo? Huh? Can you just imagine that Pastor Travis says today we're going to have a solo, and they're going to play a solo for you on the cymbals, and then they begin to play. I'm telling you, about 3 seconds is good on that, don't you think? A cymbal in the proper place can really be powerful, but no. He's talking about something that no matter how good it is, listen, without love, we lose. Without love, we become sounding brass and clanging cymbal. You say, well, wait a minute. What if we had somebody with the gift of prophecy? Wouldn't that be cool? Now, I understand that prophecy may speak to what I do in the sense that I tell forth the Word of God. But I think we sometimes jump too quickly to that. I think there was a gift there also that had a predictive element. That God gifted some people to see beforehand what He was going to do. What if we had those folks here? We would really have it going then. I mean, people would come in from all over Springfield to hear that. Or what about this? What if we had somebody that understood all mysteries and all knowledge? I got to tell you, my sweet wife is right here. And she told me something the other day. And I always have a desire to do what she wants me to do, but I'm telling you, I don't know that this one's going to get done. Okay? I mean, it's kind of unusual, but she wants me sometime to preach through the book of Revelation. And I'm not man enough to do it. Don't you applaud for her. I mean, if there's any book in the Bible that's guaranteed to cause people to disagree with everything you say, it's going to be that one. Now, I will tell you this. I have read the end of the book and we win. I thank God for that. Hallelujah. But what if I had my charts and understood all the mysteries and all the knowledge and people come in? Listen to what the Bible says. Listen to what the Bible says. Even then I am nothing. Oh, how about this one? What if I had all faith? It doesn't get any better than that. I mean, we got people on television teaching us about that. So what if I had all faith and I could say, mountain, be removed and be cast, you know. What if I could do that? That'd be good, wouldn't it? Well, yes, I guess it would be, unless I moved the mountain and it landed on you. Then it wouldn't be so good, would it? No. Now, that's a good thing. But listen to what the Bible says. If you could do all of that and have not love, listen, I am nothing. Nothing. Without love, we lose. It doesn't matter how gifted we are. Without love, we lose. It doesn't matter how charismatic we are. Without love, we lose. And then verse 3. Oh my. Listen. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Now we're talking about folks that would say, listen, the plight of the homeless in our community, oh, it weighs on me. Here's what I'm going to do. Sell everything I've got. Every bit of it. Sell it all. Give it to the poor. You say, man, that's got to be the epitome. Not quite. Because then there might be somebody that would say, I am willing to be martyred for my faith. I'll go to the hardest place. I'll go to the place where most people who preach the gospel die. I'll be like some of the old-time missionaries. I'll take a casket with me and I'll pack my supplies in the casket because I know I'm not coming home. I'm going to die. You say, well, man, it doesn't get any better than that. Well, wait a minute. We got this verse. And it says I could do all of that and it would profit me what? Nothing. N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Zero. The ledger at the bottom of the sheet of your life says zero. You say, man, I taught junior high. Zero. And all of you junior high folks, I love you. And I've taught junior high. I really mean that with all my heart. But you understand? You say, man, we put it on the line. We did. And yet the Scripture says you can do all of that and it comes up empty. You say, well, if love is not all that it says in verses 1, 2, and 3, and if that's not love, what is it? Would there be anything that would motivate a person to do all of that without love? Sadly, yes. People serve the Lord out of many motives. Some serve the Lord so that they will feel good about themselves. They'll feel good about themselves. There's a pride issue there. Some serve the Lord so they'll look good to other people. Oh, look at me. I'm suffering for Jesus. Sadly, some serve the Lord out of a mistaken understanding of salvation. In other words, I've got to do this so I'll get to heaven when I die. There's a name for that. It is moralistic deism. And it means this. I believe there's a God, and I believe that if I just do the best I can and work as hard as I can work, when the books are settled at the end of the age, I'll be all right. Because that's all God could ever ask is that I do my best, treat my neighbors well, do unto others as they would do to me. That is moralistic deism. Many of your children, many of your grandchildren, that's what they're being born into. But I want to tell you something, my friend, that all of the good works that we can do are just like filthy rags before God if love is not the motivating principle. Love. I'm going to tell you what kind of love in just a moment. But I just want to underscore this. Without love, we lose. Let me say this a little differently. You can be absolutely right and be awfully wrong. You can have the right theological position and be so mean you send people to hell. You can be right on an issue of church governance and yet be absolutely wrong. Why? Because when we do not love, even right becomes wrong. So Paul would have to teach the church at Ephesus what he's taught us. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Friend, I want you to understand, without love, inspired speech can still be losing. Without love, exercising the gifts of the Spirit can still be losing. Without love, radical generosity can still be losing, and martyrdom can be losing. Without love, we lose. Now, I've got to tell you about this love. You know, of course, it's not erotic love. The Greeks had a word for that, eros. It's not that. It's not what Paul's talking about. It's not family love, like we hopefully love people within our own family structure. It's not that. Not that. It's not family love. It's not friendship love. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But it's not that. It's not that. No, it's almost as if they coined a word for this. It's the word A-G-A-P-E, agape. And that's a different kind of love. That's God's love. That's the kind of love that would cause a God who has no need at all, no ego issues at all, a God like that to love a stinker like me and you. That's that kind of love. It's love that is unmerited. It is love that's freely given. It is love that comes to us even when we're unlovely. Even when we're unlovable. God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's agape love. How does that translate into this text? I wrestled with this, and I came up with this. This love is God's love experienced in me and God's love expressed through me. We'll say that again. I think it's important to define it. If love is closer than you think, we need to know what kind of love we're talking about. And I'm talking about this kind of love. It is God's love. God's love. Not Hosey's love. Not your love. God's love. And it is experienced in me. I don't think I can ever express and exhibit the love of God through me unless I've experienced it in me. In me. It's God's love experienced in me. And then it's God's love. Not Hosey's love. God's love that is expressed through me. It is God's love that is extended through me. It is God's love that is given freely as it has been freely received. That is agape love. And I want to tell you, hear me very carefully. That love is essential for a winning church. Yes. Essential. I hadn't told you the title to the message, had I? The title of the message for you that like titles is this title. Love is essential. It's not an option. It's not just for certain circumstances. It's not just for when he or she doesn't get in your face. No, love is essential to a winning church. And the thesis of the message, four words, without love, we lose. Now, you got your Bible still open? I want you to see how this would read. And it's a little cumbersome, I'll be quite honest. But the English language is not as precise as the Greek. So to translate it, sometimes I think you get a little cumbersome. But if you're looking at your Bible, I want you to just follow what I do here. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not God's love experienced in me and God's love expressed through me, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not God's love experienced in me and God's love expressed through me, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not God's love experienced in me and God's love expressed through me, it profits me nothing. So here's what I want to do. I want to receive God's love every day. Can I get a witness on that? I want to receive His love every day. It's not enough to receive it in 1961. I need it today. I want to receive it every day. I want to rejoice in it every day. I want to rejoice in it every day. Listen, every day of my life, God loves me. Even when I have failed, He is still my God. I want to rejoice in that every day. And then I want to reflect that love to you. I want to reflect it to you who love me. And if there are any who do not, I want to reflect that love to you as well. It's not my love. Freely I have received, freely I give. But I want to be a loving child of God. Why? Without love, I lose. Without love, you lose. But more importantly, without love, we lose. You think the world doesn't know when Christians within a church are unloving? They absolutely know. It destroys the mission of the Master. Without love, we lose. Love is essential. Now, next Sunday, I'll give you a little heads up. Next Sunday, the title is Love is Visible. I'm going to tell you it's closer than you think. But I'm not going to tell you what all that means yet. But love is not only essential, it's visible. And when you get to verses 4 through 8a, we're going to explore that probably for 2 weeks. And then we will finish up with a message titled, I think, Love is Eternal. Love is eternal. So here's my question. Have you experienced the love of God, the forgiving, glorious love of God, the love of God that will not let you go? Have you experienced it? You can. It's closer than you think. By grace, He will save you when you put your faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. By faith, He will do it. By grace, He will do it. And then, my brothers and sisters in Christ, you who have already made your commitment, you've followed Christ in the baptismal waters, you have been identified with the bride of Christ, I simply ask you, is the love of God being expressed through you? Is the love of God? If it is, we celebrate. If it is not, we repent. We repent. That's what we do when we are outside the Word and the will of God. Without love, we lose. Love is the key to winning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as I come before You one more time in the name of Jesus, I pray for You to touch hearts of people in this room. Touch their minds so that they can understand what has been said. And Father, I am so thankful that I can testify I have experienced the love of God. I've experienced the grace of God. I've experienced the forgiveness of my sins. I've experienced Jesus Christ living in my life and through my life. I've experienced love. Father, I want to express that love to others every day of my life, and I want that for every member of this body of believers, and I want it for the church throughout the world. Revival will come when we love like Jesus loved. Let it be. Father, if there's one person, boy, girl, teenager, man, or woman, that needs to come today and say, I'm ready to step across the line. I want to have God do His work in my heart. I want Jesus to forgive me. I want what Jesus did on the cross to be applied to my life. Father, I pray somebody might come and say, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. I pray that somebody might come and say, I'm ready for believer's baptism. Just like Joe, I want to be baptized as a public profession of my faith in Christ. Father, maybe somebody that comes and says, I want to be a part of this church. I sense in my spirit this is where the Holy Spirit is planting me, and I want to use my gifts for His glory. Maybe it's just some of us, Lord, that need to come and kneel at an altar or at one of these steps and say, Lord, I have experienced Your love, but I've not been expressing it. And I repent of gossip, and I repent of bitterness, and I repent of unforgiveness. I repent of all of that because without love, we lose. Father, I don't know what needs to happen, but I want you to do in my heart whatever you want to do in Jesus' name.